Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Hard-edged, hard-nosed, hard to beat.
Where are you coming from in this one?
Your 100% essential download.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
You let this get out of control.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. I'm Natalie Sawyer, and today myself and Dean Saunders discuss the stalemate at the Etihad between Manchester City and Arsenal. Almost a year on from their collapse in the title race last season, was this a psychological victory for the Gunners, or has this left them worse off than when they started? And Liverpool are now on top of the league after beating Brighton. Did the Seagulls boss Roberto De Zerbi pass his test to become the next manager at Anfield as Jurgen Klopp heads for the exit? This is Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation. Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Once a fool, you've got to follow the rule, always a fool.
Thrones in centre circle, golden ball. They've gone with David and Victoria Beckham to celebrate their silver wedding anniversary with a huge party on the pitch at Wembley Stadium. They will mark 25 years of marriage by placing the gold thrones they sat on at their reception on the hallowed turf of the centre circle. The reason, I mean, you might read that and think, gosh, you never know. I mean, if they pay the right amount of money, you know, Wembley needs the cash. We always hear that. Maybe it could happen, but you always have to look at who writes the stories. And this is an exclusive by Flora Pilo, which is an anagram of April Fool. That's how you know, if you did believe the story. Any April Fool's jokes that you like to have played when you were a player? Little pranks?
No, I can't think of any offhand. I think Andy Townsend, who's just left the building there.
Oh, yes.
He done me one day. I mean, I was in the toilet at Aston Villa, mm-hmm. and he's crawled in the next cubicle, and he's got a bucket full of ice.
Oh.
Half ice, half water. And he's poured it over my head while I was in the toilet. I thought I was going to have a heart attack.
I bet.
Because I'd never seen it coming. He just like absolutely drowned me, but it was freezing cold water. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That was like the precursor to the ice bucket challenge, indeed. Yes, so do have a little look out for your April Fools. You never know, TalkSport might have one or two up their sleeves as well. But should we reflect on what we saw yesterday in the football?
Where do we start? I mean, we'll get on to the boxing after. That was brilliant. Wasn't it?
Honestly, Wardley's nose, which was broken in that fight.
My,
I don't even know how that he continued with that. It looked horrendous by the end.
You need that sewing back on this morning.
Yeah. Well, as I was watching it and I was obviously seeing the post-fight analysis, they didn't even get to chat to both fighters because obviously both needed to go and maybe have their respective treatments that they needed. It was a bloodied encounter, certainly.
Do you know what I thought was good about it? And we'll talk about it later. You know, you've been watching these YouTubers fighting and all that, and it's a bit like the purists are not happy about it.
Yeah.
These two heavyweights, both undefeated, desire and determination from the two of them. They were both rocking right to the last second.
Yeah.
But excellent.
It was excellent. It ended in a draw, but we will talk about it a little bit later on. It also ended in a draw between Manchester City and Arsenal.
Fascinatingly poised the title race, but let's be honest, that was dull as dishwater. It finished Manchester City 0, Arsenal 0.
Which means that Liverpool took advantage, having beaten Brighton earlier on yesterday. So they have gone to the top of the Premier League. What did you make of what we saw at the Etihad in terms of the styles of both teams?
I thought Arsenal were going to win the game beforehand because of what they'd done to Liverpool. I watched Liverpool run all over about five teams on the bounce, Newcastle, West Ham, two of them. And then they tried to do it to Arsenal and they couldn't. Arsenal sort of played out past Liverpool's press, you know, and Liverpool are a physically fit team, but they couldn't do it to Arsenal. Arsenal sort of were better than them on the day. Mm. And I thought they might do that to Man City yesterday, but I'm a bit undecided. Is it a tactical planned 0-0 draw from Arteta, brilliantly pulled off the way he's done it, or should they have gone for it? And was it a bit, I mean, in the lower leagues, you'd call it parasite football.
What's that then?
So what he's done yesterday, Trapattoni, the Italian, great Italian manager who ended up managing the Republic of Ireland, 4-4-2, Trapattoni. That's exactly what they've done yesterday. Two banks of four, two strikers, drop back in your own half, see if you can get through us. When you try and pay passes that don't exist into pockets that don't exist, we're going to steal the ball off you and try and score from your mistakes.
Okay.
So that's what Arsenal tried to do yesterday. You have the ball. We know you're going to have it, Man City. But what we're going to do, we're going to kill every pocket. So Foden, Silva, they can't get in any holes on the half turn and run at us. So they all sunk back. Mm-hmm. So there's no space in behind. So your goalkeeper's got, you know, he's on his line and he's got no decision to come for a through ball or not. What they do, they wait till you make a bad pass or you cross a ball into the box and they've got more in there than you have, and they break on you. Mm. So they don't construct attacks with the ball. They pinch goals from your mistakes, counter-attacking, basically.
It's true, though. You're right about the... I think a lot of us have sort of been thinking about what we saw yesterday, and was it a defensive masterclass or was it just negative football from Arsenal?
We'll find out.
Well,
won't we?
Yes, we will, certainly. But it was their lowest possession in a game this season. They only had 28%. Across that whole 90 minutes. That's very different from an Arsenal side that tends to dominate on the ball and with the ball, so heavily possession-based. There's only been a few games this season where the opposition has had more of the ball in games. Clearly, it felt like the message was, let's contain, let's snuff out City, let's make them become scrappy at times, because there was nothing for them to... There was no way of breaking Arsenal down. Defensively, they were superb, without a doubt. And you can't be critical of that. It's just maybe, I mean, I think Adrian Durham yesterday was at the game and he was calling it a very poor game just because of how the two teams played and how the fact that City couldn't break down Arsenal. And they got frustrated by
Arsenal. Yeah, well, Trapattoni used to spoil the game on purpose. So if we make this an entertaining game, we're going to get beat by Man City. If we make this a basketball match, Man City have got bigger guns than us. So you try and win another way. A clever way, Trapattoni used to do it. Arteta yesterday, he's played Jesus one side, Saka. They were sitting in front of the fullbacks. He's got Jorginho and Rice, Odegaard and
Havertz. Sorry.
25 yards back in their own half, saying, come on, try and get through us. There are no pockets. They don't exist. But what we're going to do, we might do you on set plays because Arsenal are very good at it. They've got a big, strong team. I don't think they could have done what they done yesterday, last year. Well, with the players there.
Yeah, let's talk about that in just a moment. But before that, let's hear from Mikel Arteta and what he had to make on what we saw yesterday.
You know, you want to win the game. We're prepared to win it. We cannot win it. Make sure we draw it. And we've done that. And 11 men said, well, we were here and the story was very different. And you have to continue to make steps as a team and try to improve. And today we've done that. And we're still... many more to come. Obviously, it generates belief. It generates continues the momentum and the good position that we are in, and the fact that the boys are there and they want more individually. They demand themselves, but I could have done this better, and we haven't done this well enough as we train. That tells you how much they want it, you know. And we will try our best to continue what we are doing.
So that's what Mikel Arteta then had to say after that goalless draw. And look, I think a lot of people, like I've mentioned, probably were sat down to watch that game and were expecting a fierce toe-to-toe contest. That's not what we got. We got a very different approach from Arsenal. But do you think, bear in mind, they've not won at the Etihad since 2015. You sort of said they wouldn't have got that result this time last year. Have they matured then in the season?
Well, I don't think they could have put that defensive performance out like they put out, you know, playing like they did, 4-4-2. If you look at what Guardiola done, he's in the end, the changes he's made, he's thought, right, we can't get through this team. We can't play through them. They're too compact as a team. 4-4-2, we can't get through the middle. So he took Foden off, who couldn't get a kick. Mm. He moved Silva, he took Kovacic off, put Silva back into midfield, brought Grealish and Doku on, and tried to go round the outside of Man City. And Doku got to the byline a few times. His final ball wasn't the best, and he got a few cutbacks. I mean, Hoyland missed the chance to square it for Rodri, didn't he? That mysteriously missed the ball. But you look at Arteta's substitutions, then he brought Thomas Partey on, who's 6'3", and he brought Martinelli on. It was like as if he's planned the whole thing. Right, we'll keep it at 0-0. We won't try and score until 15 minutes to go. I'll bring Martinelli on.
So
and
then
he had
why?
A chance.
If it, by the way,
Trossard as well, sorry.
By the way you're talking, and by the fact that it disrupted City, they didn't allow them any rhythm really in the game, why are we not lauding Arteta more then for that? I mean, look, we've had a message in from Greg who said, like, last season got beat badly. This season we've taken 4 points and haven't conceded a goal against City.
Yeah. Like, 2 years ago, I thought he was on the right road. The minute he got rid of Aubameyang, he got control of the dressing room, for me. And the signings that they were making in the past, like Pepe, like signing talent, but with no desire. Players with no desire, weren't playing for the shirt, just talented players, trying to patch them all together. And it stemmed from, I mean, without going too far back, you remember they let about 15 contracts run down and they ended up having to give Sanchez and Aaron Ramsey, they were like 300 grand a week. Mm-hmm. And the dressing room was sort of ruptured. And he's got control of the group now. He's on the right road. He's added Declan Rice to that group. He's added two, for me, the great players, Zinchenko and Jesus, like head and shoulders above talent-wise and attitude. And it spread right through their camp. And I said about 3 weeks ago, I think Arsenal are going under the radar, creeping to the title. And that game, but that game yesterday, they both damaged each other, haven't they? They both took 2 points off each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, as it is then, Manchester City are third in the table on 64 points. Arsenal second, they dropped down to second on 65. 2 points ahead, Liverpool, who took advantage of going into top spot with that victory over Brighton before the game at the Etihad. So we'll reflect next about what that means for Liverpool. Does it mean that they are now the favourites to go on and win this title in Jurgen Klopp's final season in charge? Good morning to you. Thank you very much for tuning in to TalkSport on this Easter bank holiday Monday. It's Dean Saunders and Natalie Sawyer with you until 1 o'clock this morning. We're in for White and Jordan. And lots on the way as we reflect what happened at the O2 Arena a little bit later on with that draw. And also, of course, look back on what happened over the weekend, especially yesterday, where Liverpool took advantage of the draw between Arsenal and Manchester City at the Etihad to go to the top of the table after they beat Brighton in the earlier kickoff yesterday. So where does that leave the title race? That's what we are talking about right now, as well as the contrasting styles of football, I think it's fair to say, that we perhaps witnessed between City and Arsenal. Many critical of Arsenal's style, the way that they approach that game, a defensive style of football, let's say, not what we would normally see from Mikel Arteta's team. And an interesting point that was raised actually before we came on air was, if Jose Mourinho was in charge of Arsenal and we saw that performance yesterday, would we all be heavily criticising that team?
I think criticism comes from, for example, look at Conte last season. He's got Kulusevski, Son and Harry Kane up the middle. You'd think they'd get in any team, them three. Mm-hmm. That's as good a front three as you can possibly get. Yet he's sitting back at home against teams who they were better than and playing counter-attack football. So I think fans, when they see that your players are better than the opposition and you're sitting back, that's when they get frustrated. But if you're Arteta and he looks at Man City and thinks, who's got the biggest guns here? We've both got big guns, but who's got the biggest? If we have a shootout, we'll score more than you. Who's going to win this battle? Mm. So he's gone the other way. So now and again, tactically, if he felt the need to do that yesterday at Man City, I think it's good management from him.
Absolutely. Look, and it's meant they've come away with a point, and a vital point in this title race, absolutely. There will be others. And look, we've had Sid the Villa fan, thank you very much for your message this morning, saying loads of teams go at City and get results. He's saying about his own team. Aston Villa, of course, did that earlier this season when they beat City 1-0 at Villa Park through Leon Bailey's only goal of the game. He says they got it totally wrong, tactics-wise, Arsenal. You go back to the last team that beat City at the Etihad.
Brentford.
We surprised them because we went at them front-footed at the start, which I think surprised City. Now, I remember I think we had a chance in the first 5 minutes, something like that. And I'm there and I'm thinking, what are we doing? This is not how we should be approaching this game, because naturally, as a team, especially of my side's ilk, you're going to go there setting up quite defensively. Now, that wasn't quite how we started that game. And then we obviously went on to win it late on. So teams can go at City, or, you know, can beat City if they get under their skin a little bit. And maybe Arsenal did that. No, not many. And maybe Arsenal did that in a different way, because it was a more defensive style that they went into that game with. But obviously some people would also say, but that's quite a negative, nervy way of going into a game of such magnitude.
Well, if I was Brentford, Everton, Burnley, Sheffield United, it would cross my mind if I was the manager, thinking, right, if we sit back here, 10 men behind the ball, and try and hang on for 90 minutes, history tells you that Man City always score.
Yes.
At home, especially at home.
Yeah, they'll break you down, yeah.
So, obviously, my defence can't cope with Haaland, Silva and Foden. My defenders, say it was Sheffield United, you would be thinking, as Chris Wilder would be thinking, if I leave them four on the halfway line on their own and start attacking, we those three are going to cut us up and we'll end up getting beat 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. So, you can think to yourself, we've got nothing to lose. Why don't we get on the front foot? As soon as we, from the kickoff, as soon as we, as Man City's goalkeeper gets the ball, full court press.
Yeah.
Let's try and nick the ball off them early. Like a boxing match when you catch somebody cold in the first round. Try and get 1 or 2 nil up and then try and hang on. But I know what you're saying. You can go at them, but Arsenal could not afford to lose the game yesterday. Brentford have got nothing to lose.
Yeah. You're right in that sense. And it was a different point in the season as well, because obviously the Brentford victory came in the November time. Whereas now, we're in the business end of this season, and there's so much riding on every result. Let's bring an Arsenal fan into this conversation. Jodie's rung up to have the say there. Morning. Morning to you, Jodie.
Morning, Jodie.
Oh, hello. Thank you for being on here.
Brilliant. No, we're happy to have you on. I hope you're having a lovely Easter Monday. What did you make of your side's performance then yesterday?
Well, I wanted to talk about it generally because I wanted to talk about Arsenal's passion. Now, they normally show tremendous passion in attack. Well, yesterday, they showed passion in defence. And I wanted to give some examples, if I may.
Please do.
There's Bellingham, in playing for England. He decided that he was going to score a goal, and because he couldn't face the negativity of the press. But he did score that goal, and he made up his mind. Now, Arsenal, when Aaron Ramsdale made that big boo-boo, I'm sure everybody remembers that, the team got together and said they were going to win this game for Arsenal. So they decided as a team, with their passion, what they could do. And I think passion is very, very important. And I think the biggest example of that was years ago when Leicester won the Premier League. And I think passion can get you anywhere.
Good point, Jodie.
No, Jodie, I agree with you. There's no hidden secrets in management. Football management is about signing good players, getting them to work hard. And I think Arteta has stood in front of 40 players and said, this is what we're going to do in the future, and you've got to follow me. And you can see it in him. Mm. And he's got rid of the people who were picking their wages up. I mentioned Pepe. I mentioned people, Aubameyang, Lacazette, who'd like, are we winning? If not, does it matter? He's now got a group of players playing with passion. And then you added Declan Rice to that. Mm-hmm. And Jesus. Those two stand out like a sore thumb. So you're right. I mean, you've got a chance. He's definitely got everyone in the boat and they're all rowing in the right direction.
Well, like I said earlier on, it does feel as though there's a maturity now to this Arsenal team. Still relatively young, but still there's a maturity. And they've learned from the experiences of the past. We're seeing that, the fact that where they are still in this title race as well. Carl, though, from Newcastle has just asked, Arteta is an absolute hypocrite. He cried last season when Newcastle did the same against them, saying he would never approach a game like that. Again, though, you might argue, Carl, that's the maturity from Arteta. He may have learned from last season.
Did he say that, did he?
Yeah, I can't remember it myself, Carl, but you're absolutely right to flag it up. There's just two ways of looking at it, certainly. I like I've mentioned before, I would have loved to see Arsenal go at City, of course, to make it a more entertaining game. But I can also sit back now and think, do you know what? Maybe that was just a bit of a defensive masterclass like we've been using all morning as that phrase. We'd still love to know your opinions on it, of course. You can call us on 03717 223344. 81089 is the text number. Are Liverpool now in pole position?
Definitely. They've hurt each other yesterday. The draw, 2 points, and Liverpool winning. So nobody can stop Liverpool, only Liverpool.
Mm.
You know, if they beat themselves. But they should, looking at the fixture list, it shouldn't be a problem. They're getting players back fit.
Yeah. Well, passion was the one word that Jody used there to describe Arsenal. Is passion something that's lacking from Manchester United
and
from Chelsea as well?
I seen something in the paper the other day that if you eat a piece of chocolate every day, you live longer.
I know it's meant to be good for you, yeah. You're right.
That's the excuse I needed.
But they also are saying stockpile your chocolate because we're having a cocoa shortage.
Oh, no.
So I know. I don't know what the right answer is.
Cocoa, not Coca-Cola. I paid £8.50 for a pint of Coke yesterday.
Was this a hotel?
The world's going mad.
Was this in a hotel?
Yeah, I thought it was April Fool. I said to the waiter, it's tomorrow, April Fool's Day, £8.50.
That's ridiculous.
Scandalous.
That is scandalous. But I think we've all been there, unfortunately. And sometimes it's a need-must situation. You just go, right, I just want one, so fair enough. Lots of you getting in touch already this morning. Really interesting and contrasting views on Arsenal's performance yesterday. For example, this one from Tommy. If Jose Conte, etc., did the same thing Arteta did yesterday, it would be called anti-football. Arteta murdered football yesterday, but some reporters call it a masterclass.
Trapattoni. Go and have a look at the games when he was managing Italy and managed Republic of Ireland. 4-4-2, sit back, parasite football. Mm-hmm. We just pinch, or we score from a set play, we win 1-0. So yesterday, Arteta has gone to Man City. We can't lose. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to open up. We'll try and beat them on set plays because they're top of the league on getting on the end of corners and free kicks. We've got a big team. And I'll give it 10 minutes to go. And if we haven't scored, it's 0-0. I'll try and pinch it. And he nearly did.
Well,
Trossard got through. Martinelli, come on. So I know what you're saying is anti-football. And I know what Graham Souness would say because I've been with him a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You can't win anything unless you get control of the ball in most games. So you take the ball to the opposition, with the exception of Leicester when they won the league, which is a one-off when they just sat back and counter-attacked. But that's what they done yesterday. He's got a point, and he obviously seen that as a way to win in the league. It was all part of the plan.
Well, Mark, Arsenal fan, says the bias against Arsenal is absolutely incredible. If your team comes to the Emirates and shuts up shop, Arsenal get blamed and say it's the home team's job to change what Arsenal were doing. They're boring and negative, etc. Also, he says, let's try and remember that Arsenal had more shots than City on target, and that's true in the end. And also, Andy and Chichester are saying, best centre-forward in the world, Erling Haaland, didn't have a kick in the game against Arsenal, in both games, in fact. How about a bit of credit where it is due?
Yeah, He looks
off
form.
Credit, in all fairness.
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at the front three when he's had Havertz up there or Jesus up the middle and Saka and Martinelli. Martinelli and Saka, I thought this season's going to be tough for you. People know that you're going to come inside, but they've worked that out. They've got round it. Ben White's helped him. They've signed Declan Rice, so they're never going to be like a sieve. Declan stands in the middle of the pitch. You go and attack. I'll cover the back door. The two centre-halves are quick and big and strong. They took care of Haaland yesterday. I mean, I played, when I played in the Premier League, you'd come up against Rio Ferdinand. He thinks quicker than you. He's stronger than you and runs quicker than you. No disrespect. We play against Norwich a week later and the centre-half's not as quick as me, doesn't think as quick as me, and I'd get in and score. But against Rio, the best defenders, you wouldn't get a sniff. You'd have to wait for one chance. He never got... he got half a chance, didn't he, Haaland? He does look off form, but strikers are like that.
You mentioned Haaland then, in the sense of not looking at his best. I'm sure you heard what Roy Keane had to say about him after the game, likening him to a League Two striker. I mean, what do you think he means by that? And is that right? Is that fair to call someone who broke records last season and maybe not having the same standard of season, but was he not still the top scorer?
He makes you laugh, Roy Keane, doesn't he? I mean, you watch him and you know, you can see it coming, especially about Man United. But he's trying to think of something bad and League Two come out of his mouth. He's gone like, I mean, he's gone, when he's missed the ball there. I can't do that.
You're giving it a go there.
He looks like a League Two player. Well, because it went under his foot, didn't it?
Mm.
It's the type of thing that would happen in a League Two game where the ball's gone across the face of the goal and it's gone under the centre forward's foot. A mistake like that, you don't expect it to happen to Haaland. But, I mean, we've all been there. I've missed open goals. Roy's missed open goals. You can't believe you've missed it till after it's happened. You know, how have I missed that? And he'll be thinking that. But the two centre-backs are good. Gabriel, Saliba. You know, you wouldn't want to play against them two. They're both quick. Yeah. They're both determined.
Yeah.
It's like Martin Keown. I used to hate playing against Martin. Mm. It's like a rash. You know, you couldn't shrug him off. And most of all, at this level, it's who switches off. Speed of thought. The higher up you go, it's speed of thought. Michael Owen, speed of thought, off the mark. He's thought about it before you have, and he's gone. And Haaland's like that. But Saliba and Gabriel, they're quick thinkers as well. So that's why it was like a nil-nil draw, wasn't it? Because they've snubbed him out.
Mm. Well, he hasn't scored in his last three for Manchester City. He's still scored. This is his season in general. So obviously you're bringing all competitions into this, including Norway as well. He's scored 32 goals.
Yeah.
It's quite formidable. But you're saying he looked a bit off it. Has he looked a little bit off it in the last few games, or was it just this one game because Arsenal made it so difficult for him?
Well, you look at Harry Kane, the way he comes deep, and everybody says, you're coming too deep, Harry. You're coming out of the box. Mm. You should be staying in the box. Haaland's been told, stay in the box. Stay in between the sticks. Post to post. Sometimes he's watching the game. Foden, Silva, they're like De Bruyne, they're all playing around him. And he's waiting for the final pass or the final cross. Now, if you look at it yesterday, how many times have you seen him across from the byline from Kyle Walker? He gets in between the fullback on the opposite side and the centre-back and heads it in like a man mounting. Yesterday, he had about four opportunities to do that, but Saliba and Gabriel are both 6 foot five. Both strong, grabbed hold of him, marked him properly so he couldn't get a run and a jump.
Mm.
So well done to them two. They've done the job. They've gone for a nil-nil and got one.
Yeah, as I say, lots of views coming into this morning. Thank you very much for all your texts. Ash is a Newcastle fan, says Arsenal were the better team first half. They attacked more than Manchester City. I just think City were poor
yesterday.
No, you're not going with that.
They didn't. They sat back all the way through the game and they broke out occasionally. And sometimes you get more chances doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't take the game to Man City. Man City took the game to them.
Yeah.
And Arsenal broke out from that shape.
Well, we had a message in here as well saying, ultimately, the most important thing was to not lose, and we achieved that. People may well be slating us, but we got what we wanted.
We'll see at the end of the season. You look back and go, that performance at Man City won them the league. You might be saying that.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation. Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
something we haven't really spoken about is some two teams who historically have been challenging for the Premier League title, but at this moment in time are way below par where they would want to be. And I'm talking Chelsea and I'm talking Manchester United. Both teams ended up with draws in their respective games this weekend. Chelsea twice took the lead against Burnley, only for 10-man Burnley then to fight back for a 2-2 draw. Manchester United likewise had a late goal at Brentford. Probably would have thought they would have sealed that victory, but in the end Brentford got a 1-1 draw out of that one. And something interesting that both managers have had to say is talking about their players and lacking maybe passion, maybe desire, maybe aggression as well. Let's hear from Erik ten Hag then on what he had to say about his team following that draw in West London.
We show resilience all through the game, but in points of aggressiveness, Brentford was better. And we should show more passion and desire in many moments in the game. But as I say, when you're winning the game, and then you should bring it over the line. But also, when you don't play well, you still have to win. And we did it almost. And that is my big disappointment, that you have to bring it over the line. And as I say, we didn't play well. But there was spirit, there was fight, but not enough.
Chelsea and Manchester United take on each other on Thursday with this busy midweek of Premier League action. 8:15 it kicks off at as well. And I mentioned the late goals. There were late goals in this one. Mason Mount scored his first goal for the club in what was it, the 6th minute of added on time. And then 3 minutes later, Christopher Ayer equalised for the home side. But he's talking there about the aggressive nature of both teams. And he's saying Brentford had more of that. They were the better side when it came to that aggression. Something Maurizio Pochettino has also spoken about. He said we weren't aggressive enough in their draw with Burnley and open play and defending set pieces, and we need to improve like a team and be more competitive. We had Jody on, the Arsenal fan, talking about passion. These are the kind of key words, the buzzwords that you would use and expect, wouldn't you, that your team would have anyway, that they would have that natural passion, drive, aggression to win at all costs, really.
Are you surprised? I'm not.
Go on.
You know, well, you try and predict that result on Thursday, Chelsea, Man United.
Yeah.
You haven't got a clue how both teams are going to play.
No.
Different reasons. Chelsea have got a load of young players who find it hard to... Well, they've got no experience, really. Not enough to come back from adversity and know how to get a 7 out of 10 every week, which experienced players know. Man United, you can go back 5 years and they've still not sorted the problem out. They give the job to Ollie. Ollie's gone in there. He spent 3 years. Have they spent $1.5 billion? Something like that.
Since
Fergie left. So they've had enough time and enough money to have a better group of players than they've got on the pitch right now. Mm-hmm. And the least you expect is if you give me everything every week and you turn up and you look after yourself during the week and give yourself every possible chance to play well on Saturdays, and I pick you, and you're giving me everything, and I can see you want to win, it's impossible to have a bad game for me. That's what I used to say to the players. Mm-hmm. I look at some of them players at Man United who are still there. What, you're bringing Harry Maguire on as sub. He's tried to sell him 6 times. He's tried to sell Wan-Bissaka. The players know. Mm. They should have cleared the decks a long time ago. You've still got players in your team who are not at the races every week. Some days they try, some days they don't. And then you start seeing the shining light on the club and you think, Hoyland and Garnacho mm-hmm. look like they're playing for Man United shirt. Mm-hmm. They look like they want to win, they want to chase lost causes, they want to score goals. They look like they've got the bit between the teeth. And then you watch them against Brentford, the two of them. Hoyland looked like your under-17 striker, couldn't get hold of the ball. And Garnacho was just invisible, getting brushed aside from everything. You got Rashford. I don't know how he's going to play week in, week out. No idea. Looks like he's not enjoying his football. Fernandes keeps running out of position, empty in the middle midfield. That's why they're like a sieve. That exposes Casemiro. I mean, I know he never started, but Casemiro's lack of pace, Eriksen's lack of pace, both class players who are winners, proven winners. But if your wide players don't work hard and don't run back, Antony doesn't run back, Rashford doesn't run back. If your wide players don't run back, your fullbacks get exposed and end up out the club. Your two centre midfield players get dragged out there. Now, Casemiro gets dragged out on the flanks. You can see he's not quick. You can see he can't run. But if he stays in the middle of the pitch, he can dictate games with his brain and Eriksen, the passing and brain. Mm-hmm. But for me, Fernandes has been there too long. I know people are going to say, well, you can't have a go at him. He's definitely, his stats are good, but captain and empty in the middle midfield, it's like playing with a number 10 who don't run back. That's where he's playing at the minute. So they've got centre-backs. Johnny Evans was playing in front of Maguire. Shaw played in front of Maguire. I think Jones played in front of Maguire. Varane and Martinez, they've had a few injuries. Mm-hmm. The goalkeeper, De Gea, still not got a club. Stayed at the club 3 years too long. It needs sorting. If the generals and the colonels can't get it right, the soldiers can't win the war. And upstairs, it's not right. Hopefully, Jim Ratcliffe comes and, you know, he's coming. Hopefully, he gets it sorted and they make the right decision. Yeah, I can make four good decisions for you now. Because it needs clearing the decks. They need a new team.
Let's hear it.
Sign Tony, Mbeumo, Mitoma and Lewis Dunk. Sign them four. There you are. There's four players who turn up every week. Ivan Tony, Mbeumo, Mitoma and Dunk. And by the way, watching that game against Brentford the other day, if you just swap the shirts over, yeah, if the Brentford players put Man United shirts on,
yeah.
Brentford are a miles better team than Man United. How can that be possible?
Well, listen, if any a game with stats points towards how much Brentford had dominated that game, it was certainly that one. I mean, they had, what was it, 85 touches in United's box in comparison. I think it was to just 16 from the visitors to that one.
It's not good enough.
It's not good enough. But
McTominay tries. And please, Mason Mount scored a goal because he's walked into. He must be thinking, what have I walked into here? The expectation is through the roof. And we've got a team of expensive players who don't turn up every week.
Well, I guess he hoped he was walking into a club that was in a better position than the one that he left, Chelsea. But they are likewise in a similar position. In fact, in a worse position because of where they are on the table. They're in 11th on 40 points. Manchester United 8 points ahead of them. We had a message in here from Matt, a Chelsea fan, who was talking about the passion and the great call from Jodie earlier on. He says, Chelsea, American owners thought football here in the MLS is like MLS, and what we have is just that low-intensity exhibition football with a similarly low-intensity manager completely reflected in the players.
Well, again, the generals and the colonels. Todd Boehly, in charge of the massive decisions. It's like Rashford having a Rolls Royce, 700 grand Rolls Royce. Todd Boehly in charge of Chelsea hasn't got a clue what he's doing.
Are these two clubs, with these two managers, going through the motions to get to the end of the season, and will these two managers be in charge come the new season?
No, they've gone in a clothes shop and spent an absolute fortune on clothes, got them home, tried them on, and they don't fit, none of them. That's what they've done.
And they're not taking them back.
Not taking them back. Still got them. Can't take them back. Not allowed. No. So they've signed players. They've gone down the route of, let's sign young players and bring them on and have a long-term project with Graham Potter. A three-year trust the process. That's what they call it now. It used to be a plan, didn't it?
Yep.
Now it's called trust the process. So we're going to have a three-year trust the process with Graham Potter. He's a great coach.
Yeah.
I said at the time, if you lose six games, the fans will get you out. Any club, mm-hmm, you're gone. Mm-hmm. There's no long-term project at Chelsea. They have to have ready-made players. Arsenal have got no kids in the team. Neither of Man City. Their starting lineup are men who are proven. Liverpool, men who are proven. Their starting lineup. I'm on about, you can bring kids in, like Bradley comes in for Trent. They do well in a little short period, but the class players turn up every week. And Chelsea have got too many players who, I mean, I've started to question, are they good players? The young, are they good? I'm not so sure.
Well, Pochettino has said that a lot of his players are nervous right now. They're not dealing with the pressure of playing for a club of Chelsea's stature. I think that's an issue in itself that he's talking about that, because surely as a manager, it's his job to calm those nerves.
Mm.
You'd have thought.
I'll give you an example. I remember signing for Liverpool and I was in the dressing room before the game. We played Oldham at home, first game of the season. I was looking through the programme, and when I got to the last couple of pages, it had Liverpool's previous 10 years finishing position in the league. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Where do you think they finished? The lowest they finished?
I can't even
second
know. I was about to say, I can't right. imagine it was that
I,
low.
I honestly thought to myself, we got to win today.
Yeah.
First game of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to win every game.
Okay, so you can understand why some of those players might feel as though this is a big leap for me coming to this club, and a club that is still below par, has been below par for a long time. A lot of money's been spent, et cetera, et cetera. But the manager has to breed that positive culture. And if he's talking about nerves openly, surely that gets into the psyche as well. And look, we've had a message in from John who says, Erik ten Hag has no man management skills. Look at all the problems and players he's ruined, he says. Players he wanted out, like Scott McTominay and Harry Maguire, the players, John says, saving him right now.
I don't agree with any of that. I don't think Maguire's good enough to play for Man United. I don't think McTominay...
But he's not done that badly since he's returned into the starting...
He's a great lad.
Didn't start on the other day.
I think he's a great lad, but you're trying to win the league at Man United. You're not trying to finish fourth. You're not trying to finish fifth.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Please leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast from. Jim White and Darren McAntony will be back tomorrow to bring you the best of the show.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.